Ireland introduced an ad hoc system of direct provision for asylum seekers over 20 years ago. There's been international condemnation of aspects of that system and the accommodation types that evolved, lengthy delays in processing applications, and we've had reports published that mapped out a better model of care for the thousands of refugees who come to this country. Now, finally, Minister Roderick O'Gorman has published a white paper that promises a four-year programme of change. Let's hear what's in the white paper now from Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner. And currently, Elaine, we have about 7,000 asylum seekers. They're in what you've described yourself as a hodgepodge of accommodation coming under this umbrella of direct provision. What's going to change with this white paper for an asylum seeker arriving in Ireland from this year?
Yes, well, the biggest, most significant change is the accommodation factor, and we will see that hodgepodge, privately led model of accommodation that now exists for those seeking asylum in Ireland to a not-for-profit state-led model of accommodation. And those coming here seeking asylum will get their own front door as well, which is significant. And we do know that the Programme for Government committed to ending this system of direct provision that, as you said, was set up as a temporary stopgap measure when the numbers of people arriving in Ireland seeking asylum dramatically increased about two decades ago. So the White Paper is a continuation of that, and it sets out how the government will implement its new model by 2024, and it'll be a gradual phased process between 2021 and the end of December 2024.
And it's mapped out, Elaine, in two phases. The first phase being this delivery of six new reception centres. They have to be sourced and built.
Yes, and they'll be what the department says as high specification and purpose-built centres, again, operated by not-for-profit organisations on behalf of the state. So when a person arrives into Ireland, they will be placed in one of these six purpose-built facilities while they're being processed and their application is being looked at. During this phase, phase one, as they call it, people will be taught English. They'll receive integration supports, be given supports to adjust to living in Ireland, and will be given provided with education and employment activation supports as well.
And Elaine, is it the case you spend 4 months in one of these reception centres, no more than 4 months, when these services, these wraparound services, are provided to you, and then what's the next step?
Yes, so after 4 months, the government plan on moving people into a more self-sufficient style of accommodation, own door, self-contained houses or apartments, which will be certainly welcome news for campaigners who wanted to see the dormitory style accommodation that's provided in some instances eradicated. And that looks like that is going to happen now.
And how are they going to provide the own door or own room accommodation?
Yes, it'll be a mix, but again, it'll be not-for-profit model of accommodation. So provided by local authorities and developed to replace this current direct provision model, which is a mix of the direct provision centres and then emergency accommodation, because we know that the current direct provision centres have been full to capacity since 2018. So emergency private accommodation has been found since then to fill in the gap, shall we say. So this will be more like giving people their own home, own front door, giving them a better chance to assimilate into the community and to contribute to the community.
Briefly, how are they going to pay for this? Is it costed?
It is costed, and there's a number, a range of costs provided. The white paper states that phase one should cost in and around 281 million. That's to provide those six purpose-built reception centres. Phase two, depending on the model, and obviously different types of accommodation and how they're provided will vary in cost. So they provide three main costs to phase two: 165 million, 283 million, and 391 million. Again, as I said, depending on the type of accommodation which is provided and the method of providing that accommodation as well.
Elaine, it's a lengthy white paper. There's a lot of reading in it. Thank you for taking us through some of the headline detail. That's Elaine Loughlin of the Irish Examiner. Let's get some reaction to what we're hearing now from Nick Henderson, who's CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Mary.
Now, I know you've welcomed this white paper. Is it the change here that has long been promised and long been sought by organisations like your own?
Yeah, I think there is enough here. We welcome the report, as you say. It's a very important moment. It's been a long campaign to end direct provision. I checked our records last night and we first called for an end to this system way back in October 2001. There's a wealth of reports about what's wrong with the system, and I think this white paper does give us a roadmap to ending it and replacing it, and we look forward to implementation. I think also now, that there's a lot... Sorry, Mary, on you go.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we've talked about the new reception centres that have to be built and delivered with Elaine. We talked about the own-door accommodation. Does it also include a speedier method of processing applications for asylum?
That is a potential weakness of the paper. There's lots in it that we welcome, but what it doesn't do is take forward a recommendation made by the Catherine Day Advisory Group that was published in October, a recommendation that people who had been in the system for more than 2 years would be offered permission to remain. That, we believe, is a crucial device in reducing backlogs, the current backlog, in the asylum process. In our opinion, the current system is dysfunctional. There's approximately 7,000 people in direct provision. People are waiting up to 2 years for a decision on their first application. And we need that device to try and unlock and reset the system. The report, the white paper does say that efforts will be made to reduce backlogs, and that will be those efforts will be reconsidered in about a year's time. But a huge amount of pressure will now be on the Department of Justice to try and speed up their decision-making processes so that these backlogs can be reduced, because shifting to a new system with 7,000 people is a completely different task than shifting to a new system with, say, only 3,000 people.
And I think the white paper talks about providing these accommodations to cater for up to 3,500 people annually coming into this country. You say this amnesty is missing. Is there anything else absent from this report? Is there independent oversight and guarantees around delivery?
Yeah, there is. There's what's called an independent board that would monitor implementation up until 2024. And importantly, that does include the participation of people who've got direct experience of the asylum process, which is extremely important. What also it doesn't do, which is which we've recommended, is we do wonder whether a government department, particularly the Department of Children, which has a wide brief, has the dynamism to develop such an array of new accommodation models. And we recommended that a new independent body be set up, which would be at arm's length to government. Although the report does say that recommendation will be reconsidered in a year's time. Potential other weakness is that for many people in direct provision today, as I say, it's a dysfunctional situation. COVID's been particularly difficult, and I think people looking at the date of 2024 wonder what's in it for them today. So we need to be able to implement short-term wins, of which there are many, and so that will be crucial for 2021 and moving into next year as well.
All right, Nick, thank you very much for joining us. Nick Henderson there, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council.